Hey, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of Fat Guy Loves Cake. It is March 29th, 2024. It's Friday. All right. We made it to the weekend. Hope everybody had a good week. I had a little bit of a tragedy on my hands. I know I sound a little happier than I feel, but no sense in dwelling on it. My beautiful, beautiful, loving, sweet, unique, one-of-a-kind cat, Mr. Frankenstein, a.k.a. Frankie. He passed away very suddenly from an illness. I'm not sure what it was. I think he may have gotten into some poison or something because of the way he died. It didn't come from me. It didn't come from this house. And I don't think my neighbors had any poison set out anywhere. So not quite sure what happened, but it doesn't matter. I'm thankful for the time I had with him. He was just the best cat. So this show is dedicated, of course, to Mr. Frankie. You will be loved and very, very missed. And thank you to Carlos and Lafayette for their support. I didn't get to record. As I told you guys, I was going to be doing a show with them, a Roadhouse show on Wednesday. I was going to record. It would be released today. We were going to do a Roadhouse roundtable talking about the new Roadhouse, and I had to cancel. I mean, literally he died when it was a couple of hours before I was supposed to record that show. And I just didn't feel like I could be funny. And of course I couldn't, you know, I had to bury him and everything. So it was a very sad thing. And, again, I mean, I'm heartbroken, but I'm all cried out. So, I'm thankful that I had him for 9 years and he was wonderful. And, so it just sucks, you know, when you have animals and the animals, you don't think about it when you get them, but you have to accept as an animal owner that they are only in your life for a fraction of the time that you have the capability to live. So if you live to be 70, you know, you'll probably go through 10 cats before, you know, you die. And then, and you go, well, life is just so fucking fair and awesome. But they're just wonderful, wonderful to have animals. I know people feel the same way about dogs. It's not really my thing to feel that way about dogs, but I get it. I get it how people can feel that way about dogs. You, for the most part, and as much as I'm not a big dog person, I could see why dogs would be considered better than humans pretty much 99% of the time. Same with cats and these pets, man, because they're wonderful, they're beautiful, and they're not judgmental. So to all of you and your beautiful pets, I hope that you're taking care of them and you're being nice to your kitty cats and your doggies and hug them, because you just don't get them that long. So I didn't, speaking of animals, before I get to, I'm going to do something really cool today, which is, I'm going to read the Roadhouse AI story that I wrote for Nerds Talking that I didn't get to use because, well, obviously I told you why, but before I say that, speaking of animals, across from my work the other day, there was this dog and it was running back and forth. Not so much running as it was slowly trotting back and forth across a busy highway. And cars were stopping because they could see him, but this is a very, very, very busy road. And the stretch that the dog was walking across, cars tend to really, really, speed a lot. Like, for some reason, they treat it like a drag strip, just that particular area of that road. Because all day long, man, I hear cars gunning their engines. And he was successfully getting across the road back and forth without getting hit. But I thought, man, this, you know, like, I don't want to see this. You know, if I see a dog get hit by a car, I'm going to have nightmares for weeks. So I call 911 and I tell them, hey, there's a dog on Houston Highway and he's going to get hit. You guys need to send somebody out here to get him. She says, okay. And I could see, you know, out the window of my job from my desk, and, you know, like, hours go by. Finally, the dog just goes about his business and leaves. Police never show up, of course. And then yesterday morning, I got a text and it said, how was your 911 call experience? And I'm like, what? I thought, man, I really want to tell you how my experience was, but I also don't, I would like to do it anonymously, not when you have my phone number, you know, because I'm going to be like, "You, oh, how did you do? Fuck the police. 911 is a joke. Yo, down," or some shit, you know. Because, yeah, I'm not saying that, look, I know my little town and I know that there is never anything going on that's so important that one police officer can't drag his ass away to come and get a poor dog out of the road. Because anytime anything happens in this town, anything, it's immediately posted onto the internet. There is literally a guy who does this thing, this Facebook page called Hood News, where he follows the, what do you call it? The police scanner. Anytime there's an accident, I mean, like just a fender bender, and he goes to it, he takes pictures of it, he puts it up on the internet. Anything that happens in this town, we know about immediately. So you can't tell me that when a dozen cops are patrolling this little town, that after a few hours that one of them can't get to a 911 call about a dog. And I don't get that. So yeah, that just thought I'd share that with you guys. In fact, as long as I've lived here, I've never seen them take, I actually called the police one time because a pit bull was terrorizing people out on my street, and I stayed there with it. Like I was out riding my bicycle. So I had the, in case he attacked me, I had my bicycle like between us. I could have just like, you know, blocked him off. Wasn't scared of him, man. Dogs like that don't scare me. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to tell anyone what to do when a pit bull comes after you, but every time one's ever come after me, man, I make big, like how you're supposed to do with a bear, make yourself big. I stomp my feet on the ground. And I'm like, what? That may backfire on me one day, but so far it's worked. So without further ado, because I don't have forever here, I'm so fucking behind right now. I don't know why. I guess because I've been sleeping so much better because of my CPAP machine that I have been getting up later, going to bed earlier. Man, I killed it at the gym. Oh yeah. Speaking of my weight, 8.5 pounds down, 8.5 pounds in what? 9, 10 days, bruh. I am just shedding the pounds. I couldn't be more proud of myself. Sucking down protein shakes, meat and beef jerky, and, you know, cold cuts. And that's about it. So that's, if you want to know the secret to my diet, that's it. It's the carnivore diet and getting sleep. So let's get to the what I have been so waiting to tell. This AI story of Roadhouse. Basically, I gave AI, my AI storyteller that I pay to use so that it is uncensored, my AI storyteller, I fed it some knowledge and it kicked me back a story. And the story is Roadhouse, which is Dalton. Dalton is actually in the story. That's Patrick Swayze. I'm in the story, Joey Valentine. And I'm the backup bouncer. The bartender is Johnny Buttstuff from Nerds Talking the Podcast. And the villains are Carlos and Lafayette, two brothers from Nerds Talking the Podcast. So that is your list of characters. And that's the only characters. I don't know how long this is going to take me to read. And I know it's going to make me laugh. So I'm just going to try and get through it. But stay with me. It's pretty funny and it's pretty stupid, pretty silly. So let's get to Roadhouse. Okay, I'm not going to draw this story out and make it like super long, but I'll tell you where we are now. It's like any other night at the bar. Some goons have come in. They've started some shit. I've disarmed them. They're like, "Hey, Lafayette and Carlos are welcome in your bar anytime." And I'm like, "No, they're not. And you can tell them to suck my nuts. And if they don't like it, they can come down here and fight their own fight." And so I'm talking to this leader of the gang, and I take out my dick and I piss on his boots. And that's pretty much where we are right now. So, as you take out your huge cock and begin to urinate on the leader's boots, he lets out a string of curses and tries to pull away from you. The other men in the group watch in disbelief as you finish and put yourself away. The leader of the gang yells, "This isn't over," and you say, "I agree," and pull his pants down, exposing his bare ass, and shout for Joey to hand you a pool stick. Joey hesitates for a moment, looking unsure of what to do, but eventually hands you a stick. You yell, "Eight ball in the corner pocket," and ram the stick deep in his rectum. As you take the pool stick and ram it deep into the leader's rectum, he screams in pain and tries to wriggle free. The other men in the group rush forward, but you hold them back with your imposing presence. "Stay back, you command. This is between me and Carlos's bitch. Now I want you and your friends to get the hell out of my bar and tell Carlos that I would love to play a game of pool with him as well." The leader, still bent over and holding his backside, nods frantically in agreement. "Yes, yes, we'll go," he stammers. "Just get that thing out of me." You grab the pool cue with both hands, and with a quick snap of your wrist, you break it in two. The leader's eyes widen in horror as you take the sharp end of the cue and push it further into its rectum. "You better tell Carlos I'm serious," you say, your voice full of menace. You grab... Sorry, I know it's terrible, right? As you forcefully kick the leader out of the bar, he stumbles out the door, clutching his wounded backside. The other men in the group quickly follow, not wanting to stick around and risk facing your wrath. You watch as they scramble to their feet and run down the street and say, "Roadhouse." You turn to Johnny and you say, "Roadhouse." And you both nod at each other. The knobbers won't be back anytime soon, but they'll be sure to tell Carlos about the beating he just received. All right, so then there's a woman dancing on the table, just like in the movie, and the boyfriend won't let her get down. I have a confrontation with him. And so let me just skip through that. All right, so I gather everyone around and congratulate them on a successful night. Good work, everybody. And I say, "I want to tell everybody how I run things. There are three simple rules you need to follow." And of course, I tell them everything from the movie and how you have to be nice until it is time to not be nice. And then Johnny says, "Well, what if someone gets in my face and calls me a cocksucker?" And I say, "Well, Johnny, I suppose you are a cocksucker." You reach down and slowly unzip your pants, pulling out your large cock for everyone to see. Your team looks at you in surprise, but you remain serious and resolute. "And remember," you say, gesturing to your cock, "that this is in charge." You stand there with your cock in your hand, looking each member of your team in the eye. They all seem a bit taken aback by your sudden display, but you remain calm. "This," you say, "is the ultimate authority. It's what keeps the peace and maintains order. Never forget that." You look around at your team holding your cock in your hand. "Would any of you like to touch it?" you ask, offering it to your team, or perhaps take a picture with it. You can tell that your team is a bit uncomfortable, but you remain serious. "Come on," you look around your team. "Would any of you like to touch it?" You encourage the team to step forward and interact with your cock, but they all remain hesitant and unsure what to do. Johnny speaks up, looking a bit uncomfortable. I think we're good for now, Dalton. We get it. Your cock is in charge." That was seriously written by the AI. That is so funny. Yeah, we got it, Dalton. Your cock. Just then, Carlos and Lafayette burst through the door, defiantly looking for a fight. Carlos and Lafayette stride into the bar, their eyes scanning the room for any sign of trouble. They spot you and your team and make their way over, their faces twisted into sneers. "Well, well, well," Carlos says, looking you up and down. "If it isn't the bouncer and his little crew." You look at Carlos and Lafayette with a smirk. "Well, well, well, if it isn't the two Mexican brothers who like to buttfuck each other," you say, trying to provoke them. Carlos's face darkens at your words, and he takes a step towards you. "You better watch your mouth, gringo." I think it's funny that I told the AI that they were Mexican. See, they're not Mexican. They're from... Oh my God, it escapes me now. But they're from, God damn it, I can't remember. Sorry, guys. I just, off the top of my head, I can't remember. But they're not Mexican, so it's funny that it says you better watch your mouth, gringo. like they're truly old school Mexican. "You don't know who you're messing with." Lafayette puts a hand on Carlos's arm, trying to hold him back. You look at Carlos with a sneer. Get out of here, Carlos. I'll call you when I need my lawn cut, you say, trying to belittle him. Carlos's face contorts with rage, and he lunges at you, trying to punch you in the face. You quickly step out of the way, dodging his blow, and counter with a punch of your own. Your fist connects with Carlos's jaw, and he stumbles back, momentarily stunned. You look Carlos in the eye, trying to convey the seriousness of your words. Carlos, everyone is tired of you and your gang. Leave this bar alone, or I'll be forced to stuff something in your tight ass, you say, making a lewd gesture with your hands to drive your point home. Carlos glares at you, still furious from your earlier taunts. He spits at your feet and turns to leave the bar, Lafayette following close behind. This isn't over, Carlos sneers over his shoulder. You'll regret crossing us, gringo. Lafayette stops at the door and turns around and says, I wouldn't mind if you stuck something in my tight ass. I deserve it because I don't like the movie Roadhouse and I make a shitty podcast. Lafayette's unexpected comment catches you off guard and you can't help but laugh at the absurdity of it. I keep that in mind, Lafayette, you say, still chuckling. Johnny and Joey exchange a confused look, but they don't do anything. You walk over to Lafayette with a menacing grin, reaching for his groin and giving his balls a hard squeeze. He lets out a pained cry, doubling over in surprise. Taking advantage of his vulnerability, you then pivot towards Carlos and throw a punch directly at his crotch. Carlos lets out a loud grunt as your fist makes contact with his groin. He falls to his knees, clutching his injured area. Lafayette, still writhing in pain, tries to stand up and defend his brother, but you quickly push him back down. Enough, you bellow. I've warned you both before. The bar has gone quiet, all eyes on the scene unfolding in front of them. Johnny and Joey look at you with a mix of shock and admiration. Carlos and Lafayette slowly get back to their feet, wincing in pain. You turn your attention back to Lafayette, who's still recovering from your early attack. Lafayette, you shout, trying to get his attention. Say that Roadhouse is the greatest movie ever. Lafayette looks up at you, still clearly in pain. Fine, he grunts. Roadhouse is the greatest movie ever. His tone is sarcastic, but you can tell that he's trying to appease you. Carlos, who has now regained his footing, glares at Lafayette. You traitor, he growls. I don't believe you, Lafayette, you say, your voice full of authority. Say it again and mean it. Lafayette looks up at you, his eyes filled with anger and resentment. He takes a deep breath and grits his teeth and says, Roadhouse is the fucking greatest movie ever made, all right? Happy now, you goddamn gorilla? His tone is still laced with sarcasm, but there's a hint of genuine belief in his words. You look down at Lafayette, still on the ground, and say, get on your knees and open your mouth, Lafayette. Lafayette hesitates for a moment, still glaring up at you, but then slowly he starts to push himself up off the ground, wincing in pain as he does so. You look down at Lafayette, who is now kneeling in front of you with his mouth closed. Open it, you command, your voice still cold and commanding. Lafayette hesitates for a moment, then slowly opens his mouth. You unzip your pants and take out your impressive manhood. You waste no time and begin to urinate into Lafayette's open mouth. The sound of your piss hitting his tonsils echoes through the bar, and the room begins to fill with the smell of asparagus. Lafayette's eyes widen in shock as you begin to urinate in his mouth. He tries to pull away, but you grab him by the back of his head, holding him in place. He struggles against you, but he is no match for your strength. As you continue to relieve yourself into Lafayette's mouth, you say, Roadhouse. The word hangs in the air, almost like a joke between the two of you, but there's no humor in your voice. When you're finished, you step back and tuck yourself away. You look down at Lafayette, who is still on his knees with his mouth open, your urine dribbling down his chin. He looks at you with a mix of disgust and fear. You can see the anger and resentment in his eyes, but there's also a hint of submission. He knows he can't win against you. You look over at Carlos, who is standing a few feet away, watching the scene unfold with a mix of shock and disbelief. Now it's your turn, Carlos, you say. Boys, grab him! At your command, Johnny and Joey move in on Carlos. You take a step back and turn away from Carlos, giving him a clear view of your ass. You pull your pants down and show him your backside. You slowly walk it back towards him, your ass cheeks clenching and unclenching with each step. I don't know why the AI wrote that. Carlos's eyes widen in shock and disgust as he realizes what you're about to do. He struggles against Johnny and Joey, but they are too strong for him. You hear them chuckle as they grab Carlos and force his face down towards your exposed backside. All right, boys, you say, your voice full of confidence. I'm about to butter his biscuit. You spread your butt cheeks and move your butthole just inches from Carlos's face. The room grows quiet as you let out a long, deafening fart. The sound echoes through the bar and flecks of feces make a wet, smacking sound as they hit Carlos's forehead. You laugh maniacally, the sound echoing through the bar as Carlos's struggles become more desperate. The smell of your fart fills the air, and Johnny and Joey can't help but cover their noses with their shirts. You say, "Hey, Carlos, ever watch the Beverly Hillbillies? Here's some black gold, Texas tea." You laugh at your own joke as the smell of your fart continues to fill the air. You see the disgust and horror as a stream of black putrid liquid blows all over Carlos's face, and he lets out a muffled scream. You say, "Roadhouse." "Let him go, boys," you say, and Johnny releases Carlos from the grip. He falls to the ground, coughing and gagging on the smell and taste of your fart. You pull up your pants, straighten your shirt with a satisfied smirk on your face. "You boys better get back to work," you say. And by work, I mean jump into your taco truck and make me some dinner. Joey and Johnny exchange a glance, but they know they better not argue with you. See, this is where the AI got confused, like that I was talking to Joey and Johnny when I was talking to Carlos and Lafayette. Sure thing, Dalton, Johnny and Joey nod, making their way to the taco truck outside. You watch as they climb into the back, putting on their hairnets and gloves. The smell of your fart is still lingering, but starting to dissipate as the night air flows into the bar. You say, "Idiots, I was telling the Mexicans to make tacos. God, you guys are dumb." Johnny and Joey, who have already started preparing taco ingredients, stop in their tracks and look at each other, confusion clear on their faces. You say, "Joey, push Johnny's face onto the grill." Joey looks at you, shocked and unsure of what to do. "Dalton, I can't do that. Johnny's my friend," he says. Taking a step back from the grill, Johnny looks relieved, but still wary of your behavior. You say, "Look at my cock, Joey. Who's in charge?" You unzip your pants and pull out your penis, gesturing for Joey to look at it. Joey's eyes widen in shock and disgust, and he takes a step back. "Dalton, what the fuck is wrong with you?" You say, "Fuck it, I'll do it myself." You grab Johnny by the back of the head and forcefully mash his face into the sizzling grill. The sound of his skin cooking is revolting. It's revolting, and Joey can't help but puke all over Johnny's head. You hear a commotion outside and see Carlos and a group of his gang members, the Knobbers, approaching the taco truck. They look angry and ready for a fight. "What the fuck is going on here?" Carlos shouts, his eyes fixed on you. "Why is Johnny's face on the grill?" I say, "Carlos, don't you think you should take a shower?" with a smirk on your face. Carlos's expression darkens and he takes a step towards you. "This isn't a fucking joke, Dalton." You say, "Roadhouse," with a sly grin, referencing the classic 80s film where a bouncer has to deal with a similar situation. Carlos and his gang members stare at you blankly, not understanding the reference. "This isn't a movie, Dalton. This is real." Oh, wait, I have to do a Mexican accent. "This isn't a real movie. This isn't a movie, Dalton. This is real life. You need to explain yourself." You again say, "Roadhouse," hoping that the gang members will catch on, but they continue to stare at you with confusion. You say, "Well, I'm frying some rice, and earlier I took a shit on you. That should get you up to speed." Carlos's face contorts in anger, and he lunges for you, but you're ready for him. You dodge his attack with a powerful punch to the stomach. You shout, "King Kong ain't got nothing on me," with a fierce determination in your voice. The remaining gang members look at each other, unsure of what to do. They slowly start to back away. I grab one of the gang members and bend him over the hood of a nearby car. I pull his pants and underwear down to his ankles. I then take the taco I was preparing and attempt to cram it in his ass, but the shell breaks into pieces and stabs his butthole. He screams out in pain as his friends watch in horror. They all run away, leaving their injured friend. You take a moment to catch your breath and survey the scene. You turn to Carlos, who is still doubled over in pain, and say with a smirk, "Hey, Carlos, I dare you to eat this butt taco." You gesture to the hood of the car where the injured gang member is still bent over with a taco half out of his ass. Carlos looks up at you. "You're really, really pushing your luck, Dalton." Slowly straightening up. "But I'll play along since it seems to be so important to you." He takes a few steps towards the car, his eyes fixed on the taco. Just as Carlos reaches for the taco, the police arrive on the scene. They quickly take control of the situation, handcuffing Carlos. You let out a disappointed sigh, watching as Carlos is led away in handcuffs. "Oh, man, he was just about to eat the butt taco," you exclaim, half joking and half serious. Johnny and Joey give you a strange look, but you just shove it off. Shrug it off. You decide to take things a step further, and in a move reminiscent of the movie Roadhouse, I don't know why it says this, you urinate on Johnny's shoes. "What the hell, Dalton?" Johnny exclaims, jumping back and trying to wipe the liquid off his shoes. "I can't believe you just did that." You smirk at Johnny and say, "Roadhouse." You're referring to the classic 80s film where Patrick Swayze's character, a bouncer, famously pees on a man's shoes during a heated confrontation. No, AI, that did not actually take place in Roadhouse. You turn to Johnny and say, "Johnny, eat the butt taco." You point to the taco that was previously meant for Carlos. Johnny looks at you with a mixture of confusion and disgust. "Are you serious, Dalton?" he asks. "I'm not going to eat that thing." You look at Johnny with a serious expression and say, "Eat the taco or I'll stuff your head in my ass." You have a look of determination in your eyes, daring Johnny to challenge you. Johnny's expression turns from confusion to fear, and he quickly takes a step back. All right," he says, holding up his hands in surrender. "I'll eat the taco. Just don't hurt me." Johnny cautiously picks up the taco, looking at it with distaste. He takes a small bite, trying not to gag at the thought of what he's eating. Johnny swallows the bite of taco, trying to keep a straight face. He glances over at you, expecting a reaction. "There, I ate the taco. Are you happy now?" You look at Johnny with a mix of amusement and disgust. "You're sick, Johnny. Why would you eat a butt taco?" you ask, raising an eyebrow. Johnny shrugs, still trying to act nonchalant. "I didn't have much of a choice, did I?" he says. You say, "Roadhouse." The end. Yes. Now that is a Roadhouse that might be better than the Patrick. Maybe, probably not, but maybe better to some people than the original Patrick Swayze. Oh, that's blasphemous for me to even say so. Okay, I got to wrap this up. I have been talking for this fucking ever here. Sorry. Thank you guys if you stayed with me to the end. I hope you enjoyed that. I thought it was silly and funny, and I'll give you a good laugh before you start your weekend. I hope everybody has a good weekend. I am personally on my way to LaGrange to show a woman that I can have an orgasm faster than her. So I will see you guys on Monday. I'm racing.